This week on It's So Bad, we're talking about a David Crane special in Pitfall for the Atari 2600 on It's So Bad.
Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or Google Podcasts. I have it written down and I keep saying it wrong. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to us. You can also follow us on the Twitter and email us. The Twitter is at itsobadpod. The email is itsobadpod@gmail.com for all your questions, comments, or concerns. But this week we are adding Pitfall with an exclamation point specifically to the endless list of games. And Chris, what is our endless list of games?
Oh, our endless list of games is a never-ending list of what will eventually encapsulate all video games ever released at every given time, ranked by us, the committee that is the It's So Bad crew, on various sliding and shifting factors, such as enjoyment factor, gameplay, legacy, even though that's a very bit of a controversial topic, and basically pretty much how they compare to games like Dishonored and Tapper, because that seems to be a recurring theme when we rate games in the endless list. How do they compare to games like Tapper and then Dishonored?
Well, also, now we've got the Oregon Trail and all these other games as well.
Yes, the very controversial Oregon Trail.
Last week we added Home Alone as our worst game of all time on the endless list at number 106. And so yes, we are adding Pitfall.
And this week we are not adding Metal Gear Solid 2 as we teased at the end of the last episode. But
the best laid plans of mice and men.
Listen, the holiday season's a busy time, and sometimes a 8 to 10 hour stealth game maybe does not lend itself to the holiday schedule.
You need that action, right? That's what you need. Not stealth action, but in your face action of Pitfall. So yeah, what's your history with this game? Did you play this game back in the day? Did you have a 2600?
So yes and no. So when I was a young lad, we're talking like, 8 years old-ish. I would try to spend the weekends at my grandparents' house because they were cool and fun and would let me stay up much later than my parents would let me stay up at my home.
What's much later? Do you remember?
Oh, they just wouldn't give me a bedtime. And so if you want to take it back to like the wrestling world, this is kind of like when WWE Shotgun Saturday Night would air at 2 a.m. I knew if I wanted that was at 2 a.m. And I knew if I wanted to watch that live.
That was at 2? I thought that was at like 11.
No. That was really, really late. It was like after like the E Network or something like that, like went off the air. It was like really late. But my parents would obviously never let me stay up that late, but I knew my grandparents just wouldn't care. So I would stay over there often. I would watch ECW and stuff like that. But they had a 2600 because my grandparents were just general antique collectors. And they had a 2600 with a lot of games because, they would buy it like in lots. And I would play it often when I was there. And Pitfall was actually one of the games that I would play a lot when I would stay over there for a night or for a weekend. So been playing since I was a little kid.
Back to Shotgun Saturday Night for a second. Mm-hmm. I was right. It was on at 11 o'clock. You might have been catching a replay, but it first aired at 11 o'clock. I think it was either on WLVI here, which was like our, I forget what, if like the WB before the WB, or it was on Fox. I can't remember.
I remember watching it on Fox.
It was on some.
So.
Okay. Yeah, so it was originally aired at 11 o'clock.
Oh, well, yes, way to shit all over my story. Well, either way, it felt like 2 a.m. for me, so whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I never played this game back in the day. I didn't have access to an Atari 2600. My great aunt, who I used to go over her house for all kinds of holidays, she had an Intellivision, and that's like the earliest games that I remember playing. Ooh. And I remember playing like the original Ghostbusters, which is also a David Crane game. I don't know if you knew that. The Ghostbusters game we were talking about a couple weeks ago from the NES, that was originally an Intellivision game and a ColecoVision game. That game's a David Crane game.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, my opinion, only the Master System, only the NES version of the game is actually really bad. I think the other ones are, well, I think the NES version and, you know, I assume the Intellivision one are probably better than the Nintendo one.
Maybe. I don't really remember that much. I just remember the overlays on the Intellivision controller. You had to, like, slide in because it was, like, a number pad. And you had just, each game had a different thing you slid in. Nevertheless, Pitfall came out on April 420. Came out on 420, 1982.
Yes, it did.
So I took an edible to celebrate before this episode. But yeah, same year as Ms. Pac-Man, Dig Dug, Donkey Kong Jr., Robotron, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, Pole Position, Burger Time. It was the, it's kind of the, one of the peaks of the golden age of video games. Atari 2600 games that came out that year, you had, obviously Pitfall, but also Yar's Revenge, River Raid, Mega Mania, Chopper Command. Like, these are some, like, classic Atari 2600 games, along with Barnstorming, Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, which was a Defender clone. And then you also had Pac-Man and E.T.
Hell of a year.
Came out in December.
Hell of a year.
Yeah, so it was those. Pac-Man's like the most, the highest selling Atari 2600 game ever, I think. And it was terrible.
But it was a
terrible port.
Isn't this also like one of the top five? Maybe. This is one of the top 2600 games, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it sold 4 million copies, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very... it sold a lot. But you can find it now. It came out originally on the 2600. Is this our first 2600 game? Our first, like, dedicated episode to Atari 2600? I think it is. Because I think the only thing else we played was Space Invaders, which also was the arcade we talked about mainly.
I think, yeah. Right? Because I don't think... Yes, I think you are correct. Yeah, because this began its life in the 2600 with nothing else before it. So, yeah,
this might be like this game's like a top five probably Atari 2600 game. I mean, it's got the most depth, which is funny thing to say after playing this game, of an Atari 2600 game. There are 256 different screens you can go through, and there's a 20-minute time limit. Where normally when you're playing an Atari 2600 game, it's like you're playing for a couple minutes. And then you die, and you have to start over again. It's all based score based. A lot of Atari 2600 games, all of them, except for maybe like Sword Quest and Adventure and all those. But yeah, David Crane worked at Atari. He worked on Outlaw, Canyon Bomber, and Slot Machine. And I don't know if you know this, Chris, but he went on to found the first ever third party video game company, and that was Activision.
And this being a Activision title is why it is often not included in many Atari classic and flashback packages that get released through.
Yeah, I was going to buy the flashback one that's on the Switch. I was going to buy, but then I looked at the titles and I was like, oh, there's no Activision shit on here. Fuck this. The Activision games legit are some of the best 2600 games.
And actually, you know, I was...
So like River Raids...
Yeah, that's... Yes, that's a great game, and like leading up to this podcast, like I mean, I had to play Pitfall, you know, like I had to emulate it, and I was like, oh, well, this just must be like readily available on so many platforms, and it's not. It's just not at all. And I don't know, what are you doing, Activision? Why holding on to these things? What are you doing?
Yeah, So there's like. The Activision games that are good are like Kaboom is a really good one. Mm-hmm. Chopper Command's a really good one. River Raid. Most of the games that they put out for the Atari 2600 are much more higher quality than like Atari first party games. And yeah, so David Crane, Alan Miller, Jim Levy, Bob Whitehead, and Larry Kaplan all left Atari. They were all part of Atari. And they were pissed off because at the time, and they didn't do this for a long time, the people who, the publishers of the games, did not give the developers credit at all in the games. Mm-hmm. And they paid them like dick. So David Crane and the group of people that he worked with were like, fuck this. We want to make our own company. We can do it. Nobody had done it at the time. Nobody knew if it was legal because they didn't know if they had a right to use the technology behind the cart to make carts. But they found out that they did via court cases, and they started their own company called Activision. And so they made all those games that we just described. But David Crane in particular worked on Dragster, Fishing Derby, Laser Blast, Freeway, and Grand Prix, all 2600 games, all games that were Activision put out. But his big, like, tour de force, if you want to say that, was Pitfall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically his desire to make an animated version of a man running. That's all he started with. In, like, 1979, he's like, I want to make this work on a 2600, an animation of a dude running.
Right. Isn't his, and, his classic line is, you know, I sat down, I drew a stick figure, and then I gave him two lines to travel, and 1,000 hours of coding later, Pitfall was born. Something along those lines.
Yeah. It took him like 10 minutes to come up with a design concept and 1,000 hours to actually write it. And I guess the problem is, like, fitting that size of a game onto an Atari cartridge was like a very difficult feat because they only had 4K of memory bytes.
Right.
4 kilobytes.
And did they have to, like, that's develop, ridiculous, like, a proprietary chip, essentially, like, to fit Pitfall in, yeah, its 200 and whatever you said it was, 65 some odd rooms or screens on a cartridge?
256. Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, and I guess the big thing with the 2600 was it initially was only supposed to be, like, a Pong console. But they like really worked on it. It's like the same story with like the Famicom and the Nintendo Entertainment System. So the Nintendo Entertainment System, when it came out here, it was supposed to be at the end of its life in Japan. It had already been out for like 2 or 3 years, and they thought they maxed out the capabilities of it. And then they started developing custom chips to put into the games, and they extended the lifespan considerably. But yeah, so David Crane did that with Pitfall, and he made a game that was bigger than anything that had been on a Atari 2600 system prior to this.
That's, so, I have to say, for a, you know, especially when you think of like the games that you referenced that came out the same year and whatnot, like, yes, granted, it's just a guy running, but when you look, I mean, for an Atari 2600 game, like, that running animation is so very fluid, I feel like.
Yeah.
Compared to that, just a lot of other games that are at the same year in the 2600.
That and the rope are, like, very animated very well.
Yes, agreed. Yes.
The big feat that he did technically is that a lot of the times when there were like multiple sprites on a screen on the Atari 2600, there'd be flicker because you couldn't technically have that many sprites.
Mm-hmm.
So it just like interchanged them really quickly. And it was like basically simulating having a lot of sprites on screen.
Mm.
But he was able to do that. He was able to put multiple sprites on the screen that were moving around. And it made the game that much better. But yeah, I mean, David Crane, he did everything on this game. So he did gameplay, graphics, sound effects, music, even did the playtesting. So like one guy was working on games back then,
but let's, on these games. So one little thing I want to point out, though, when you said David Crane worked on the music. So there are three musical cues in this game. The Treasure Fanfare, I don't know exactly where it comes from. But the other musical cue when you jump on the rope, that is the Tarzan yell.
Right.
And this is the first known appearance of the Tarzan yell in video game media. But the death theme or the death jingle, do you know what that is from?
No.
Did it sound familiar to you?
A little bit, probably.
It's the opening theme from Dragnet when you die.
From what?
Dragnet.
Oh.
Just the facts, man.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I'm not going to do it. But,
yeah, that's funny.
It's the little riff that comes right before that. That's where it's taken from. And I was like, because David Crane was not a composer, and from everything I could tell, didn't know shit about music. So he just lifted those themes from somewhere. And the Dragnet one, I was like, oh, that is the Dragnet theme. I thought that was nifty.
Yeah, and I mean, he was also like just lifting aesthetics wholesale, because this entire game came out a year after Raiders of the Lost Ark. Which was, yes, like the most popular movie in 1981.
Right. Yeah.
So that's why Pitfall Harry, who's the main character, looks the way he does and goes through the jungle and things like that. So thank you, Indiana Jones, for Pitfall. But yeah, I mean, this game, what is it? It's basically the first side-scrolling platformer, mm-hmm, even though the screen doesn't scroll.
Right, but it simulates that, and the goal is to capture 32 treasures in 20 minutes. And you can run to the right or to the left. And I think David Crane, like, so your natural instinct, right, is to run to the right, because that's how the game is kind of set up. You Pitfall Harry starts on the left side of the screen, you run to the right, you dodge obstacles, which many of the obstacles can't actually kill you, they can take away from your score. Like, there's logs, there's logs to jump over, there's holes to fall into, which mostly take away like 1,000 points, or I'm sorry, 100 points. The logs take away points for as long as you're touching them. You know, there's only a handful of things that can kill you, and I want to revisit one of those things in a minute. But you can actually run to the left if you want to, and like run with the logs, as they say. And that's actually the easier path to go. Like, you save time because you have a 20-minute time limit, and you can capture a lot of the 32 treasures quickly if you run to the left. And I think it's, I don't know which port it was, but I guess David Crane even wrote in one of the manuals, he said, like, you know, run to the right for a challenge, run to the left for the easier path, or something along those lines.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot easier going to the left. I also tried to do that. I was like, oh yeah, you can totally do this. But yeah, there's two tiers too. So there's a top of the world, and then there's like an underground where if you fall into a hole, you can get out of it. But sometimes there's treasures in that underworld as well. And in that underworld, there is also scorpions who will chase you down and kill you. And they're kind of difficult to get away from because they're a big sprite. But yeah, it's a fun game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we have anything else to say about the game? Oh, I think the big thing that we forgot to talk about is that there's two big gameplay mechanics that are interesting. So there's a vine that you can swing on with a Tarzan yell, and that's pretty cool. And go over like waters or big holes. And there's also the crocodiles, the three crocodiles.
So I want to come back to the crocodiles. You have to time, because I would say they are the one of the most terrible villains in any video game, as those three crocodiles.
Why?
Well, I mean, it's so there's three of them. If you are not a pro speedrunner at this game, right, you're probably going to jump on two of them at once. You got to line up your stance just right when you land on the second one to like be like right above the crocodile eye, and then like you have to time it just right to clear that third one. I feel like that's I don't know. You didn't have a hard time with those? I feel like everybody has a hard time with crocodiles. And
I had a hard time with them. I just I didn't stop though. I kept going.
You would bounce through all three at once?
Yeah.
How bold of you.
So, am I a bad man for doing that?
I mean, I guess you're badass. I guess you're more badass than I was. I was a little bit more cautious with my navigating of the crocodiles.
I think the thing with me was when there was like what do you call it, sinkholes that open and close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes I'd misjudge. That's when I die a lot. I just hit those because they like open up and you don't know where they're going to be on the screen.
Well, that
and plus you're trying to run really fast, so
that was no problem for me. I mean, you know, I guess I'm just an expert at that. So, well, actually, one thing, you know, I want to talk about the high score. So you posted offline in our group chat your high score. And what was that, if you would like to repeat it here?
The last time I played was like 9,000 something. Mm. I didn't play it for, I play it very long.
So did you, I mean, yeah, because apparently you got stuck. Did you see the high score that I posted just, you know, a little, about an hour ago prior to this recording?
Are you patting yourself on the back?
No, I'm leading to something.
What's your high score?
It was 28,615 points.
Are you going to mail away and get your
that's what I was doing.
Pitfall Harry Explorer Club badge?
Yes, you got the Henry Explorers Club patch if you took a screenshot of you scoring more than 20,000 points when this game first came out. And I don't know, maybe I can still send in for it now. I have no idea. But
well, actually, according to Activision's website, the last time they've received a submission was 2015, according to a post from like 2 years ago. 2015 was the last time they received a submission, and they ran out of Explorer Club's badges in 1985.
So, yeah, I was going to say, doesn't sound like the most exclusive item, because I checked on eBay to see what they had recently sold for, and over the last couple of months, people have been buying them over the last couple of months, and those patches have been selling for about $20 to $30 on eBay over the last few months, but people out there are making reproductions, and people are buying those for about $7, which I don't quite understand, but you could have the real deal for about $20. But I guess like one of the last trivia nuggets that we did talk about this offline too is that in the advertising for Pitfall, in the commercials, it starred a young Jack Black who... just recently was lambasted on the podcast Moto Island for starring in Peter Jackson King Kong, but that's a little bit of a sly plug there. But Jack Black got his one of his earliest childhood roles was advertising this game, which
his first. It was actually his first.
His very first.
Role.
Well,
yeah.
Great for him.
So a couple other things. This game was number one on the Billboard charts. I guess there were video game charts back in the early 80s for 64 weeks, 64 straight weeks. So it was like really popular, like far ahead of everything. They made Pitfall 2, The Lost Caverns in 1983 for the 2600. Came out on multiple platforms, but it was eventually ported to the NES and reworked into Super Pitfall, which is a terrible, terrible game. If you've ever played Super Pitfall on the NES, it is like one of the most janky shit you'll play.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
And Pitfall Harry all of a sudden kind of looks like a certain Italian plumber.
He does. There's also, you need to get like keys in order to progress in that game, but the keys aren't out in the open. And it's like a maze.
Mm.
And you have to like jump in certain spots to make them appear. Really dumb game. Really bad game. That I'm excited to eventually add to the endless list someday. but yeah. So David Crane left Activision in 1986 to work at Absolute Entertainment, which was the first North American NES third-party developer. So the first third-party developer for the Nintendo Entertainment System based in North America was Absolute Entertainment. There he made A Boy and His Blob, which is a pretty good game.
Yep.
But he also made Bart versus the Space Mutants and Bart versus the World. So you win some, you lose some with David Crane. So what else should I have to say? Are you familiar with the game Pitfall the Mayan Adventure for Super Nintendo and Genesis?
Yes, I was going to say, I played the Super Nintendo version. I don't know, is the Genesis one the same?
I don't know, but there's a 32X version and a Sega CD version as well. I don't know why they put it out on everything, but it's supposedly a pretty good game. It's a game I've actually thought about wanting to play for a while. I'm like, yeah, Pitfall the Mayan Adventure. So it always like it comes back into my brain every once in a while. I gotta get it, but it's supposedly pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I played it forever ago. Like when I probably rented it from Blockbuster. This is probably how I played it. But I remember kind of being like, I mean, I don't know, the Super Nintendo was filled with so many like platformers and whatnot, right? Like it kind of felt,
right?
It just kind of felt like one of, you know, a million Super Nintendo platformers that were out at the time. But yeah, yeah, interested to see how it holds up now.
In 2012, Activision tried to make a Temple Run game that was called Pitfall. Trying to really cash in on that. They did. They put it out for free and it bombed, I think. Also in 2012, David Crane launched a Kickstarter called Jungle Venture, which was supposed to be a spiritual successor to Pitfall, but it failed. So that's too bad. Yeah. So this is this game. I think the thing that we have to do now is place it on our endless list, which currently goes from Super Mario 64 at number 1 all the way down to Home Alone for the Sega Genesis at number 106. We added that last week as our new last place game. I don't think Pitfall goes there. Personally, myself, I'll just start off the conversation. We had Robotron 2084 fairly recently, and I think this game's a better game than that. I think this game even goes above, for me, I think it goes above Kung Fu, even.
Right, so all right, so Kung Fu is number 59. Where do we put Robotron again?
63.
Yeah, I think this... So this is like one of those games, right, that I feel like... You know, this is like what I feel like is kind of like one of the first like true blue like platformer games, like side scrolling platformer games, even though it doesn't really side scroll. And, you know, actually like replaying it for this pod, I feel like it plays so well that I feel like if this was like a brand new game that like whatever came out like on mobile systems or like maybe came out on Steam or the PS Now store as like some like, I don't know, indie title, like I feel like people like would be like falling over themselves praising this game for how addictive it can be, and just how like simple the gameplay is and how it looks and it sounds and how it feels. So I think I would actually go a lot higher than Kung Fu. Like this is one of those things, either you, because it's so simple, you do either kind of dump it down in like that whatever 50s range around Kung Fu, or like you could also make like an argument if you are factoring legacy and influence, maybe not influence, but if you're factoring legacy in as something as like a top 20 game as well. I think there's a wide range here where this game could go.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's a top 20 game in the list. I think that it's somewhere probably in between, you know, a Kung Fu. I'm trying to look at,
well, let's jump, know, up
games
a little bit
that were of the same time.
So jumping up a little bit, right? Space Invaders is 48. I think there's a lot more meat on the bones than Space Invaders, with Pitfall, than there is Space Invaders.
I agree. And it's probably as influential, if not more influential, Pitfall.
Yeah.
I mean, like, for example, Pitfall, I don't know if Pitfall was... So it's interesting, right? Because Pitfall was an American developer. So it's hard for me to ascertain whether or not this would influence something like Donkey Kong, which was made in Japan, which was kind of like a next evolution of the platformer genre. Mm-hmm. But I could see it influencing other things, obviously. It's obviously very influential on it because it's the first like quasi side-scrolling platformer. I get it.
Yeah.
It's something that would go on. You know, I think the next like semi-big one that people don't talk about here, but I think it's much larger in Japan, was Pac-Land. Pac-Land was like a big game over there.
Yeah.
Which was a side-scroll. That game came out before Super Mario Brothers. Pac-Land. So
I think,
but yeah, I don't know. Pitfall, like, I think it's probably better than Space Invaders, but I think at the same time it probably goes right around there.
Yeah, so I guess
much higher.
I guess what I was gonna say was, from a gameplay point of view, let's put like the legacy influence part aside, right? I feel like it's a, you have a time-based and high score centric game with two paths you can go, or actually you can go multiple paths. What I saw for like people who were speed running it was like they run to the right for a little bit, they get the first treasure, then they do the rest of the game for the left, trying to beat the time and high score and whatnot. I feel like it's a very basic game. I feel like it has good enough game mechanics and controls that I feel like hold up in the modern era, I feel like pretty well, right? So like I think for me when I look at our list, if Space Invaders is 48, you know, I think the ceiling of a comparable game is, and I'm not saying it has to go this high, but I'm just saying, like, you know, the ceiling is probably Dragon Warrior, Dragon Quest at 41. So, like, that kind of, now what's in the middle there? You have games like God of War, Bayonetta, DuckTales, which is a great side-scroller, Valkyria Chronicles, great RPG game, Garou, you know, very good fighting game, Cuphead, I've never played, don't give a shit about it. But it's like, you have all these kind of, like, you know, is it better than God of War? I don't know. God of War is a very, you know, epic hack and slash. But, I don't know. You know, there's only one pitfall, right? There's like a million God of Wars. You know, kind of the same thing with, well, Bayonetta I'm not familiar enough with. But, like, I think you can kind of say the same thing with DuckTales, Valkyria Chronicles, Garou, in a way. But, you know.
I think I could see this game going at number 44. Pushing down Valkyria Chronicles.
Yeah, I'm not familiar enough with Cuphead or Garou to really make an argument there. But yeah, again, I guess like that's where I kind of set it up. There's only one pitfall, right? And there's a bunch of these other games.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm playing Fire Emblem as a tangent because we like to do those things here. I'm playing Fire Emblem Three Houses. I'm like 10 hours deep now. The game's like a 50-hour game. It's long. But it's got a lot of Valkyria Chronicles vibes. Now we're talking about Valkyria Chronicles. But it's like much deeper in telling the story of the team, which is super cool. But the actual gameplay I find to be much worse than Valkyria Chronicles.
Worse than Valkyria Chronicles.
Yeah. So it's there. You can grind. So I hate permadeath, but at the same time, there's this tension where I'm like, I need to do better because permadeath sucks and I don't want anybody to die. And like Valkyria Chronicles played with that tension very well. Fire Emblem, you can grind battles. There are like side battles that you can do where you can just level all your guys and make the game trivial. And it just, I'm playing on normal and it kind of sucks that I did that.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to do that. I was just,
you can grind in Valkyria too. It's just, but I don't feel like you ever really, like, it's more like your guys are kind of like level capped. Not level capped, but no, they are. I take it back. They are level capped in Valkyria Chronicles, at least the first one and the fourth one. I think there needs to be a new Valkyria Chronicles that really lays into the medic and surgeon roles, which are just kind of like side characters in the other games, just so they can really complete the MASH vibe that they have going, especially in the fourth one. That's like really the only thing missing.
but yeah, if you liked the like learning a little bit of the backstory of some of the characters in Valkyria Chronicles, like Fire Emblem Three Houses is like all of that. Like you learn there, I think there's 10 people in my house, and you learn all of their stories, and there's so much time taken to intricately like work on the team aspect, and like each individual character has like relationships with other characters in the group,
right?
And they like flesh out that story, and there's like so much story of the entire house. And then if you bring people in, which you can like recruit other houses people, then they have stories on top of that. It's wild.
Yeah,
there's a lot of story.
I have not played Three Houses yet, but have played a lot of Fire Emblem Heroes on mobile, and I get a little bit of what's going on with that Fire Emblem Heroes. So, but anyway,
I have no idea what's happening in the story yet, but we'll figure it out. But yes, tactics corner here. We're gonna end that tactics corner. So do we want to put Pitfall as our number 44? I think that's a good spot for
it's
it.
A good place
number
for 44. Yeah. Good game. Go play.
We're going to do that right now. Yeah, good game. That Pitfall. Pitfall Harry, who knows if he got canceled in the time since this game came out. But Pitfall the game.
I didn't know he was a controversial character.
He might have been. I mean, he's stealing treasure from Mayans or whatever.
Yeah, but you know, he would probably wear a mask in 2020, as should you. But anyway.
Yes, go out there. You wear a mask, people.
While you hunt treasure in the pitfalls of the forest.
Who knows what's going to happen in a day between now and when I post this. But yeah, wear a mask.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining me this week for another episode. We've added Pitfall as our new number 44 game.
Our
107th game on the endless list.
Would you like to tease what we are doing for real next week? Because I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I thought you knew.
I think we're doing Titanfall 2, which will be a different one, going from Atari 1982 to 2015 or 2014.
Sick. I've got a week off. Cool.
Get ready for Mad World, though. That's coming up soon.
No, not a problem.
We're doing a lot of teasing.
Not a problem.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Bye, Chris.
Goodbye.